Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest on today's This Week in America, longtime business executive and best-selling author Ralph Wellborn. He says businesses are optimized for a world that no longer exists. What made businesses successful yesterday is not what will make them effective tomorrow. So what do you do about it? And just how do you take advantage of tomorrow's new business models today? Well, Ralph tackles today's changed competitive world as co-author of the new book, Topple, The End of the Firm-Based Strategy and Rise of New Models for Explosive Growth. A veteran executive, business seeker, author, Ralph has spent over 25 years providing business and technology advisory services to both private and public sector organizations globally, holding a variety of leadership positions, including CEO of Imagineatic, where he received the European CEO Award in 2016, leader of IBM Strategy and Transformation Business in the Middle East and Africa, senior vice president of KPMG Consulting, co-founder of an e-commerce company, and a PhD in cognitive science with a passion for figuring out what's next in terms of shifting markets and emerging technologies, co-author of Topple, The End of the Firm-Based Strategy and Rise of New Models for Explosive Growth, Ralph Wellborn with us on This Week in America. Ralph, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
All right. Great to be here. Thanks.
So much to talk about. And let's start with the premise that I mentioned in the beginning. The business strategy of the past no longer applies. Explain why that is, and then we'll talk about what companies need to do to go forward.
Well, here's something that we all know, we certainly all hear about. We all hear about technologies changing, a lot of new competitors, a changed competitive marketplace. And so anecdotally, we all feel this. But if you look at the data, there's some really interesting points that make this very clearly. Number one, the topple rate is changing. Now, what's the topple rate? The topple rate is the rate at which companies change their competitive position relative to each other. And that rate is accelerating. So it's over 70% of the companies that were on the G2000 list are no longer on that list. So that's an indication, and we all know this. We know that there are new winners and new losers in this space. It's really nice, though, sometimes to just take a look at the data and see that the game really has fundamentally changed. So the question then becomes, well, what is it that's changed, and what do we do about it?
Ralph Wellborn, our guest on This Week in America, the new book is called Topple. You talk about a changed competitive world requires a new strategic question. Let's talk about that because that's where it all starts. Ask new strategic questions. Explain that because many people are probably still approaching it from the wrong angle and asking the wrong question.
Yeah, I think so. I think questions are hard. They're hard to ask. And the question is today, based on taking a look at what are some of the growth leaders of tomorrow and today doing, and they are asking a fundamentally different question. And at the essence, for many, many years, we've trained ourselves and we've been looking at our competitors in terms of the industry lens that we happen to have. So I'm a bank, I compete against a bank. I'm a car company, I compete against a car company and so on. But the reality is we are now competing in a world of sectors without borders. So these borders are fundamentally blurring among each other. So think of Amazon or Tencent, for example. They're really hard to categorize, right? What is Amazon exactly? They engage in e-commerce, cloud computing, logistics, consumer electronics. Tencent provides services from social media to gaming to finance and so on. And 2 years ago, you may remember that every year the automobile industry has a big confab in Detroit. And 2 years ago, every CEO got up and said, we are no longer an automobile company. We're now a mobility company. And a number of people laughed at that a little bit, said, what are you talking about? But the reality is that was merely a reflection that these industry boundaries are blurring. We are now emerging not in the issue of I compete in my industry versus another, but on a whole different plane. So that gives rise to, if you believe that our competitive environment has changed for good, which clearly I passionately do, that requires a new strategic question. So the new question is, where is value being created and destroyed in your value chain and the ecosystem in which you're engaged? Now, the minute you ask that question, funny things start to happen. The minute you ask the question, where's value being created and destroyed in my ecosystem, it begs the question, well, what's my ecosystem?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are the, right? Who are the different players who exist in it? And this is where, again, the lessons of Amazon or Tencent or the automobile industries or so many other of the new growth companies come to play about their, they don't define themselves as a bank, as a car company, as whatever else. It really is, they're looking at the problem fundamentally different. What is that ecosystem? What makes it up? Where is value being created and destroyed within it? What role do I play within this new space? And so, like you said, everything starts from that new question. And the new question is a fundamental reflection is that, again, we are competing in a world of sectors with blurring industry borders. And so we need new models and new ways to start making sense of that.
Ralph Wellborn, our guest on This Week in America, co-author of the book Toppled, The End of Firm-Based Strategy and Rise of New Models for Explosive Growth. The book is available wherever books are sold. You can go to topplebook.com and get information as well. Link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and it will take you directly there. You talk about the capabilities that made many organizations successful up to now no longer apply. Talk about capabilities and exactly what those are.
Yeah. So this is incredibly fascinating, again, because, again, if you go back to the issue of where's value being created and destroyed, here's where it starts to unpack into something that's incredibly pragmatic. And, again, I want to emphasize that a lot of people are talking about, yes, the competitive world is changing. Yes, we have this blurring on and on. But there aren't a lot of discussion about what do I do about it? What are the pragmatic steps I take to take advantage of it, which is why, again, trying to figure out what are those four lessons, I call them the four lessons of explosive growth companies, is important. And one of them is this concept of 20%, the new 20%. So capabilities consist of the skill sets, the behavioral patterns, and the technology access assets that make up your business, that help you do what you do. And here's where it gets really interesting. What made organizations successful in the past is not what you need to be effective in the future. There's always been roughly 20% of your capabilities that have driven the majority, up to 70 to 80% of the value that you deliver to clients and you deliver to your customers. So here's the question. The 20% that made you successful to date will not be the same 20% that's going to make you successful tomorrow, because technologies advance, market shift, the boring thing we talked about, and customer expectations change. Let's make this really pragmatic with an example. I was working with a large insurance company here in the States, and we had the executive team in, and we were talking about this concept of the new 20%. And he got it. All of a sudden, he got it. And he stood up and he started pacing around really energetically. And he said, oh, my gosh, think about it. Insurance, we insurance guys, fundamentally, our 20% that drive the majority of our value is how we price risk. It's our book of risk. That is the core capability set that we've got that drives well over 80% of our value. What happens in a world, he asked, because of market shifts, if our business is not about pricing risk, but it's about preventing accidents? So think about that for a second.
Yes.
The core capabilities that drive the whole business was about pricing risk. And there's a whole set of capabilities, technology, skill sets, methods, people that you need in order to price a book of risk. But his point was, we are now quickly moving to this world of preventing accidents. The capabilities we are going to need to do that, telemetry data, predictive analytics about driving patterns, about what are the liability exposures of connected cars or whatever it happens to be, that is a different set of capabilities than the traditional ways of simply pricing risk on actuarial tables. Radically different. So that's the argument, one of the things that we're seeing, is that the new 20% of capabilities for the future will be fundamentally different to drive the 70% of new value of tomorrow than today. Now, that takes you then to an incredibly interesting point of, well, wait a minute. if I've only got to move the needle on about 20% of those capabilities, number one, what are those? And we could talk about that. But this is where the new business model comes in. Let me explain. A lot of people today are using this term business ecosystem. It is incredibly hot. I'm dumbfounded as to how hot it is.
Yeah, it's become a real buzzword, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It is such the buzzword, right? When I first started working on this years ago, it certainly wasn't. It was one of those things of, what is this thing? It is the hot topic of the day, or one of the hot topics of the day. But here's the thing. Most people, from my experience, most people define an ecosystem, they mean it as a set of partners that they've got that they can refer to, right? Oh, I've got a big ecosystem of developers, or I got a big ecosystem of supply chain partners, or whatever else it happens to be. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a fundamental business model. Now, business model, let me a quick aside here. Business model is simply a fancy word for a fancy phrase for how you orchestrate your capabilities to deliver value. So a business ecosystem, an ecosystem-centric model, is one where you're orchestrating the capabilities from different actors, different partners, to capture those new sources of value. So it's the orchestration of these capabilities from different actors to capture new sources of value. Everyone wins in this game or everyone loses in this game, because you are inherently tied together around the 20% of capabilities you have to deliver, which is critical to help someone else do their work. Let's be pragmatic. Amazon. Let's pick on Amazon for a second because it's a big topic. But again, this is common to every one of the ecosystem-based models. Amazon's AWS, so their web platform, is absolutely critical for many, 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 many businesses to do whatever else it happens, whatever it is that they happen to do. Amazon will be successful. They will make more money if you are successful leveraging the AWS platform. They will be successful if you, Amazon, are successful. Their futures are fundamentally tied together for the success. One goes up, they both go up. One goes down, they both go down. So this whole issue of business ecosystems, again, is around this orchestration of these capabilities to deliver new sources of value. That's very different from simply saying, I've signed up another partner today to help me go to market.
In the book, Topple, it makes perfect sense. It's fascinating. And you talk about companies that are struggling to realize this. And General Electric is one that comes to mind from the book, Topple. Talk about a company that's struggling and why they're struggling.
Yeah, so in general, and then I'll go back to the specifics there, is one of the things that let me step back. There's a character from one of my favorite books of all time, and she's the Red Queen from Alice in Wonderland. So, Rick, I don't know if you remember her, but
yes.
She's the character who runs faster and faster, but stays in the same place. And I find her to be a really apt metaphor for a lot of businesses, no matter where I go around the world or whatever industry, where people get seduced by the new shiny object, whether that new shiny object is IoT or innovation or digital transformation or whatever it happens to be, because we're chasing after the same things in very similar ways, because we're trained to do so. We're trained to look at our competitors and do what they're doing. So we're chasing this shiny object. And I think that it's the interesting thing is that one of the ways to try to break out of running the Red Queen race is to do digital transformation efforts. But we know that the majority of those are failing. Up to 75% of those are failing as well. So clearly there's something wrong here. And what's wrong, I believe, is because we're attempting to approach the market and our customers in the same way that everybody else is. And if you're running the Red Queen race, here's a question I have for you. If everyone in your peer group, or most of the people in your peer group, your competitor group, are chasing after the things and investing in the same type of things in similar ways, then really, what's going to be different in a couple of years from in terms of a competitive position other than you've burned an awful lot of time and an awful lot of dollars? And I think that an awful lot of the models that we're seeing out here and a lot of the people going through digital transformation are thinking about it, are setting up innovation programs, are trying to execute, are running the Red Queen race. And what the lessons of explosive growth companies are telling us is, hey, don't do that. There are patterns of explosive growth. There are four steps you can take to stop running the Red Queen race And not doing so is going to be really problematic. And one of those lessons, as we talked about, is identifying what that new 20% is and then figuring out how you orchestrate that ecosystem around yours and around other 20%. So GE, back to GE, your question, they thought that they were going to be able to just take on an Amazon or take on some of the big other big platforms and say, everyone is going to come to us because we're big, we're bad, we're really, and so why not? We're really big and bad in a lot of our industry. Why can't we simply go build this overall walled garden of an infrastructure that people are going to be desperate to come and play on? And the reality is, clearly it didn't work. They invested an awful lot of money in it, and it was disastrous. And part of that was because they were looking at it, the mentality of a walled moat of, we are GE, we're big, we're bad, everyone is a flock to us. And the model just doesn't work that way anymore. It rather is around, what are those core capabilities that can dock in or support other people in what it is that they want to do? So the whole issue of open standards and collaboration is much more critical than simply trying to push a capability around, I'm going to own it, you're going to come and play on the grounds that I've got for you.
More with our guest, Ralph Wellborn, author of Topple, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now, to learn more.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-331-3981. 800-331-3981. 800-331-3981. That's 800-331-3981.